Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be remembering Sims Drugstore in Wilmore. We'll be talking to current owner John McDaniel and past owner Byron Sims, who ran the store for many years. His dad ran it many years before that. We'll talk to those two gentlemen right after this word from one of our fine sponsors here at Jess FM.
When a football team ends up with 12 men on the field, it means somebody forgot to double check. And when you end up paying more for your car insurance than you need to, it could also mean somebody forgot to double check. That's why State Farm will do a free discount double check by going through your policies to make sure you're getting all the discounts you deserve. Because those discounts can mean big league savings. It pays to double check. Call me, State Farm agent Steve Page, in Nicholasville today at 859-885-PAGE. That's 885-7243. Or visit us here in Nicholasville at 626 Edgewood Drive.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday as we continue to learn more about people, places, and things of our county. Today we're going to be talking about an establishment and some people who are located in the city south of Nicholasville, Wilmore. A lot of history in that town surrounding all kinds of things. But today specifically we're going to talk about a business that was located and is located on Main Street. It's called Sims Drugstore. And with me today, Byron Sims, who used to have the drugstore, and so did his father, and he'll tell us more about that, and the current owner, John McDaniel, who is now running that business. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Glad to have you on this Saturday as we reminisce a little bit, and I'll tell you right up front on this program, we have a mixture of listeners. We have some who have been here all their lives. They know exactly where we're talking about. They know everything about our program, and then we have a lot who have lived here maybe 5-10 years that really don't know a lot about Jessamine County. So this is not only a remembrance program, it's an educational program as well. We'll start with you, sir, Mr. Byron Sims. I guess you and your family were located or at least affiliated with that drugstore for a number of years. And so if you can, start by telling us a little bit about your family, if you will, the Sims. Were they native to our county, or how did they come to be in Jessamine County?
My father was from Mercer County. My mother was from Wichita, Kansas, and they met at Asbury College. Uh-huh. He was a pharmacist, and he met her at the college, and they got married. First of all, he was born in 1902, become a pharmacist in 1924. He went to Macon, Georgia, and got his pharmacy license in 6 months.
Really?
Which is pretty quick.
Yeah.
And he came in the drug business at one place, and he had a doctor in the back of the store, and the people would come in and see the doctor, and he'd get the business because mm-hmm. he's right there with them. And then he was in business for 50 years, met a lot of people, and a lot of things happened. And he sold the store before the 50 years is up. He sold the store to Mr. Campbell. And Mr. Campbell wasn't a pharmacist. They had ran the store for him, and Mr. Campbell got tired of running the store because he wasn't a pharmacist or in the drug business. He sold it to Mrs. Masters. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Masters, Bill Masters, was her husband, and they ran the store about 3 or 4 years, and they didn't want to put up with it, so my dad bought it back.
Had it twice. The first time he owned it. Now, do you know who he got it from, or was that, did
Bob
he open
Cole.
It?
I think it was Bob Cole.
Okay, so how far back does that drugstore go? Is it with Cole, or is it even further than that?
Further than that.
Really? Do we know how far back that goes?
No, I don't know.
Years and years and years. Yeah. Because what year would your dad have got it the first time?
Probably 1939,
okay,
40.
Somewhere around that era. And you mentioned that he met your mom because of Asbury.
Right.
Boy, it's amazing how many shows that we have done that tie to Wilmore, and I hear that story. They either came to Jessamine County or they met somebody because of Asbury and the affiliations, and the Fitches that come to mind. That's one of the ones that I think about.
Well, one of the things that I get an enjoyment out of at the drugstores, I have a lot of great grandparents that come back for class reunions, and they'll bring their grandchildren or great grandchildren, mm-hmm. and I'll hear them up there, and they'll be like, "I met your mom in this drugstore," you know, 1920 or something,
and
then they always go. They always have their kids go look underneath the tables for all the on the counter for all the gum that's been stuck underneath there. There's gum there. I think it's 80 years old at least.
When your dad had the drugstore, was it? was it just a drugstore, or was it more a drug/mercantile type thing?
In the early days, he sold radios, TA radios, had them all stacked around the counter, and after that time, TV came along. Then he got TVs and sold TVs along with prescriptions. And
so this was all in one store. Yeah. You could come in and get your high blood pressure medicine and go to the doctor and buy you a new RCA coming out the door.
Right.
That's interesting. I don't know that I've ever heard of
They worked on televisions as well. It's a repair shop.
Really?
Get them fixed.
He was a jack of all trades, wasn't he?
Right.
Jack of all trades, your dad?
Yeah, he could do about anything, but he didn't like working the garden.
Well, I don't either.
And he was mayor at this time.
Yeah, and that's the next thing we were going to bring up.
In 1935, he became Mayor Wilmore and was mayor for 30 years.
Do you know why he did that? Is there any particular story that got him interested in being mayor?
I think the people just wanted him to
just
be mayor.
Just wanted him there.
Just put him up. You be mayor, we'll vote for you.
Now, you said that was in 1935?
Yeah.
Harold Lee took over for him, is that correct? Yeah, he came in, when your dad retired?
Well, there's a couple more mayors went in, too.
Oh, yeah, Joe Thacker was in there.
Dr. Turkington, Joe Thacker.
Yeah, you're right, because I think Harold took over for Joe Thacker. Mm-hmm. Joe fell ill, and I think that's what a year, yeah, I understand. So 30 years as mayor of Wilmore. And plus the drugstore. Now, at some point in time, either in the first ownership of the store or the second, did he just concentrate on a drugstore, or did he continue to do the TV radio thing the whole time?
He did the whole thing all the time.
Yeah.
But then he bought Bob Cole out, and this is up on the other store. He went down where John is now and got that store from Bob Cole. The first store he opened up on his own.
Where was the first one?
Where the White's jewelry used to be.
Okay.
White Casting used to be.
Yeah, right up there by Clay, Tanksley's,
right.
Drugs, hair place. And so that was the first location.
Right, he opened that himself.
Okay.
And so he went and bought Bob Cole out down the street, the store is now. In 1949, the building burnt. There was a large drum, I think it was a 500-gallon drum, of turpentine, and one of the employees went down and opened the valve up on it.
Uh-huh.
It's a little latch valve. And it dripped off on the floor. The turpentine ran down into the stoker, curves of furnace. Has coals in the bottom laying there, and you scoop them out.
Yeah.
Well, that turpentine run down that stoker coals, and the whole building went up.
Oh, my goodness. And took it down.
One of the firemen died, and Lexington came down to fight the fire. They reopened, built a store, and
was it just that store, or did it affect other buildings in that block? I assume
it did.
One
building.
And I think I've done some research on that, and I think they had the wood sidewalks still at that time. It was evidently a pretty big fire, and all the departments surrounding
departments came. Yeah.
And after the fire, no one was hurt. After the fire, there was a Lexington firefighter by the name of J.C. Monahan, and he had a heart attack after, and he passed
that
away.
Happens so that quite was, a bit, unfortunately, yeah, for firemen. That would have been what year? 49?
49.
Yeah.
49 for
so he rebuilt the place and had it until when?
2003.
So you took it over from him in what year?
74.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about you personally now. Tell us where you went to school and who your wife and family is.
Went to Wilmore High School.
You were a Bear. The Wilmore Bears.
Wilmore Bears.
Yeah.
Right.
Graduated
played
from there.
Played basketball, all sports.
I guess you were a Bill Maxwell athlete then, weren't you?
Sure was.
Yeah.
Wild Bill.
Where did you go to college?
University of Kentucky in Louisville.
Okay.
Little three building room down there. I went down there for 3 years and came back to Wilmore and started working for my dad.
So the College of Pharmacy was still in Louisville at the time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was before they moved it to UK?
Right.
Okay.
Did you know growing up that that's what you were going to do?
No, I didn't want to do that.
What did you want to do? Did you have another occupation in mind?
Anything but pharmacy.
And you ended up as a pharmacist.
Well, then Dad said, you're going to pharmacy school, and I went.
And that was it. The rest is history. Did you ever learn how to fix a TV?
I've put up many antennas all over town.
That's a hard job.
TV tires.
Yeah.
I was the only guy in Jessamine County or probably around here that carried the tires up on my shoulder. You had to get them up there and line them up and put the tire down with 10 foot over your head.
Yeah, wow.
It was my dad. I did that for my dad. He sold the TVs and I put them in.
You know, a lot of people, when they look at Wilmore from the outside, and this is going to come into your line of questioning too, John. There's a lot of people that look and say, how in the world does a business make it in a town that size? And I don't know, if you look at the population now versus what it was back in the 50s, it's bigger, but not that much bigger.
Not much.
Was there ever a time where you just said, or your dad said, we just can't do it here. We just can't. Or was the town always so supportive that you never had to worry about that?
My dad was sort of the town.
Yeah.
He's going to be there no matter what.
And people support. So you didn't really have to worry. You knew people were going to support Sim's Drugstore. And I guess when I say people, you got the what I call the old Wilmore people, and then you've got the Asbury Bunch. I mean, they're two distinct groups. Did you always have good support from the Asbury community?
Not really.
They weren't used to old-time, I guess, down-home pharmacist type.
It's like the college is sort of confined up there, and
yeah,
they don't go off the campus very far.
Yeah.
They may go to Lexington or Nicholasville to get out of town,
yeah,
but they don't come downtown much.
But I guess the bottom line is, and again, this I assume is part of today's reasons for success, is that it is a hometown pharmacy. When people walked in the store with your dad or with you, either one, and now with John, they know who they're dealing with. They know people, and those people know who their clients are, and they know their problems, and they know their things they're going through, and they're able to help. Is it the personal touch? Do you say that's the reason for the success?
In a way, yes. But pharmacists are, when we deal with a person coming in, you get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
You get to know all about most of their life because they'll tell you about their
right
problems and so forth.
Yeah. You almost become a doctor, don't you?
Well, in a way.
Yeah.
I'm really concerned about every person that comes in. We want to know what's going on and how you're feeling and so forth. And really, they're part of the family.
And that does make success. And sadly, that's what we're losing a lot of in this country.
Right.
In a lot of different occupations, not just pharmacy. So at some point in time, I want to touch on this before I go on to John a little bit. When did the, what do you call it? The
soda fountain.
The soda fountain come about. Was that your dad's doing too?
It was there all the time.
All the time. So TVs plus the soda
fountain. TV business and later in his life, but the TV business wasn't the main attraction.
Mm-hmm.
After he got up in age. As my brother said today, he says, I meet people on the street all the time, and they remember Sim's Drugstore about the softball team.
I've seen pictures of that, and I've heard about that. Very successful.
We were runner-up in Lexington, the city tournament, 2 years, and won it 2 years in a row, and the superintendent of the recreation at first says, you got to get out of this league and go to the big league. Well, on the big league, there was only four or five teams because it came from out of town.
Right.
And they put us in with those big boys, and we didn't do too good, but we held our own. We didn't come in last. And we played all the state. We played in Tennessee, all around. Sim's Drug, pretty well known. Nuki Stotts.
I was going to ask you, can you name some of those players?
Nuki Stotts.
Yeah. Who's still around?
Danny Shearer and, of course, Ronald Dale and all them. But,
right.
There's Len Goss, one of the best players.
Oh, yeah.
Roger Willems and Terry Weber.
And a lot of them still around today,
right,
too, aren't they?
That's a younger group. I'm the older group. I played till I was 60 years old.
You just mentioned your brother. Name your siblings for me, for those people listening.
There's Mary Kay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Larry, and there's Charles.
Are they all still around?
Well, Mary Kay lives in Houston, and Charles lives in Canton, Ohio.
Okay. And Larry's still here, though.
Larry's here. No, always Bill.
Haven't seen Larry for quite a while. Wish him well for me. He, of course, worked for the school system for many, many, many years. At what point in time, or why, I guess, did you decide, it's time for me now to enjoy some retirement? What year would that have been?
2003. I sold the store to CVS. I wasn't tired. I had a health problems that didn't want help. They didn't want to come in.
Yeah.
But my help, I'm proud of the help I have because they've all become licensed.
You mentored them.
What do you call them? Licensed what? Jennifer?
Oh, certified technicians.
Certified technicians.
Oh, yeah.
All of them.
Mm-hmm. Good.
My daughters and Heather Sontag, all of them.
Yeah. Learned and went on from that little store. You know, I've talked to educators about this particular thing before, and it's true with what you just said. There's people that your store, you, your dad, and everything about it, influenced, that are influencing other people nowadays in parts of the world that you'll never know about. And that's the amazing thing about all of us, is how we can touch people that we'll never, ever know about. Just because you may have shown them kindness or taught them the correct way to do things and believed in them. And that's pretty cool. So you decide 2003, CVS bought the store from you. And I guess at that point in time, we need to move over to this guy and figure out a little bit how he got involved. Now, John, before you tell me about that, give me, for the benefit of our listening audience, your family background. Because you come from a family that's been around this county for a long time, your mom's side especially.
Sure. So I'm John McDaniel. I'm born and raised in Jessamine County. Most people do know my mom, Eva, who was our county clerk here for about 30 years. Uh-huh. So no matter what I do in life, I'll always be Eva's boy. I'll never escape that. But yeah, so she grew up down on the town branch, all her brothers and sisters. And, you know, I love hearing stories about the town branch, them growing up. They were pretty poor, but growing up. And it's just funny to hear all the stories that they have.
Remind me of her dad's name.
Tug. Everyone called him Tug. Tug and Mamie.
And of course, the people that are still around here that people would recognize are brothers John Martin.
John Robert.
And Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she still has sisters living?
She does. So there was eight of them, and so some had moved off to Texas and Cincinnati.
Right.
She has one sister who's had been living in Cincinnati for years, and she's down... She's now moved back and is living out at Westwood Village.
Okay. Okay. She's close to you then.
Wonderful. Yeah. And I've actually been servicing Westwood Village, the long-term care part, for about 8 or 9 years now.
We'll mention also, just for benefit of this, we had a cousin of yours that was on this show one time, Tanya, one of John Roberts' daughters, who is a very successful author now. And she was on our program, and appreciate her coming in sharing that story with us. You have a brother.
I do. I got a brother, Jim, who's a superintendent down at the water plant, at the river, actually pumping the water to town.
And is that the department your dad retired from?
No, he was in the water department in a city, so they would be the ones to come work on the main or something like that.
And they're all, of course, still around, too.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Now, what led you down the path of pharmacy?
Well, I tell you, when Mr. Sims and I parked out on Main Street this morning, and we parked right out in front of Nicholsville Cafe, and it was kind of full circle at that point, having Mr. Sims with me, and then Nicholsville Cafe used to be Nicholsville Drug.
Bob Hughes
owned that store, and, you know, I just remember going in there as a, you know, 4 or 5 year old kid, and he just was real good to my granny, and, you know, I'd have an ear infection. He was just, whatever he did behind that big tall counter, I knew right then that's what I wanted to be in life.
Really?
And I got little papers I wrote in second, third grade about being a pharmacist. And,
oh, wow. This was early.
Yeah. I wanted to be a pharmacist ever since I was a little kid. So.
You know what's amazing about that? Years ago, for a long time, I would do the MC for the Miss Jessamine County Beauty Pageants. And one of the questions that we would always have on the questionnaire was, what do you want to do after high school and in life? And it was very rare that you ever found somebody who actually did what they said they wanted to do. And it is rare, because most times you grow up, and especially us guys, you know, we want to be a truck driver or a cowboy or something. But to actually be that early in life to know and to do it, that was pure passion for that.
Well, it was, and it wasn't, you know, and the University of Kentucky was at the time the third best pharmacy school, ranked third in the nation, and it was tough to get in. I had to apply a couple of different three times before I actually got in. And you know, the second time I got denied, I thought, you know, what am I going to do with my life? And I thought, well, I'll have to apply and move out of state. You know, I had applied to Purdue and Cincinnati and got accepted to all those places. And I think the mailman literally took my money to go to Purdue and brought my acceptance letter for UK that third year.
Wow.
So I was real happy to not have to leave.
Of course.
You know, to leave this area.
Now, once you graduated, where did you work?
So I got my Doctor of Pharmacy degree in 2004, and I really kind of wanted to go to law school at that point.
Oh, yeah?
And my wife and my mom thought, well, you know, it's probably time to start working. And so,
I bet your wife said it more than your mom.
Well, they're supportive, but they, you know, and because I really thought with the two degrees, I could maybe help the profession in a political sense. But so then I did a residency for a year. So mm-hmm. I did a residency at the UK hospital and got some really good training and experience there. And then that was a 1 year commitment, and that was tough. You get a stipend as a resident, and you know it works out to about $4 or $5 an hour while you're making.
Yeah.
So, but at the end of that, I got a job at an independent in Winchester, and was there for about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And learned a great man, learned a lot of good values. He was a great Christian man, great pharmacist. I learned a whole lot from him, and so and then this opportunity, a gentleman. Who is now my business partner, he reopened Sam's Drug after it had been closed for, about 8 years, 10 years? You closed in 2003, or sold your records in 2003, and then, I guess it was maybe about 4 years it sat just vacant.
Oh, really? See, I don't know that I knew that. So mm-hmm. CVS just bought basically your business. They didn't buy anything and open up. They just bought the records.
They just buy the records.
They bought the customers, mm-hmm. so to speak.
And then they tried to retain them. And then often they'll put a clause in there that he can't reopen the store or
right.
work somewhere.
Right, non-compete type thing.
Or not, and they actually had the store, the space itself, tied up. The pharmacy couldn't go in there for so many years.
So when you joined this gentleman, his partner.
So he had reopened it, and about 2 years in, the store was just not doing anything.
Yeah.
So he was just going to close it, and I'd heard about it, and went down there, and so I took it over.
Yeah.
And I've had it now for about 11 years, and then he and I, our partnership has really developed and flourished. We've opened several stores, uh-huh. and I've bought other independents. You know, I believe in independent pharmacy, and I support it, and in other communities. So now he and I, we co-own 11 drug stores together.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Around Central Kentucky?
Yes.
Do you,
well, not just that. I mean, there's a couple in Pikeville, Carter County.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you spend your time at all 11, or are you just mainly down here?
The first several years at Sims Drug, I was in there every day. I mean, I would go in after church. I would be in there late at night. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just trying. I just figured if I was in there, it would work out eventually.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it not uncommon, and Mr. Sims will attest, it's not uncommon to have an 80-hour work week, you know, when you're in there. So nowadays, I get to, I have a good mix of both. I do enjoy, and I love being the pharmacist, but also I do enjoy going to these other places and training and, and working there and trying to help these stores continue to do well.
At what point did you hook up with him, with Mr. Sims here? I mean, you had to at some point. He's in Wilmore. He's owned this thing, his family, for 50 years. Yeah, how did that happen?
Well, I'll tell you. It was when the store reopened, of course, Mr. Sims was getting his prescriptions and taking care of this man is always taking care of people.
It's all he's known.
He's always taking care of people. And I would have people come in and they would say, you know, look at me, and they go, that Byron, he would bring you an aspirin at midnight. and so then he, you know, he came in, and, mm-hmm. and I was really intimidated. I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I'm still this, you know, young guy trying to figure it out, and you kind of feel like you got the weight of the world on your shoulders, and I was just so intimidated. Now let me say this, Mr. Sims still has his license.
Yeah.
He will still work for me.
Yeah.
So if I need to leave, you know, my children have something and I need to leave out of there an hour early, he'll come in and work. And so people really enjoy when they walk in and he's back there.
But will you deliver an aspirin at midnight?
Me?
Yeah.
I would do it. I don't think they require that.
That is important, though, because that connects not only the fact that it used to have, but the people that still live down there that were your customers for years, mm-hmm. to be able to walk in, it's familiar.
It is.
And it's good that they've got two people now that's familiar. I'm assuming you don't sell TVs and radios anymore.
I don't know if anybody repairs TVs anymore. I think you just go get you a new one.
You go buy a new one. But you do other things. It is still the soda fountain. Tell us about that, too, because I know a lot of people, they come in there not just to get their prescription, they come specifically to eat and things mm-hmm. like that. Yeah.
So as we mentioned earlier in the broadcast, the fire was 1949, and mm-hmm. so when they built or rebuilt the pharmacy, you've got that 1950s motif down there with mm-hmm. the soda fountain. Mm-hmm. And about 3 years ago, a retired chef, Greg Scott's his name, Chef Greg, he took it over and has turned it into a pizza parlor, and certainly we still got the ice cream, and you get the malts and all that. So he's done really well. He's mm-hmm. got a good business.
Good.
One of the limiting factors was that if there wasn't a pharmacist in there, the place, you couldn't be open.
Right.
So one of the things Chef Greg and I did was we enclosed the pharmacy department, so I can secure the prescriptions.
Okay. If you're closed, he can still be open.
Yeah, so now he's open late at night, till 8 o'clock at night, and doing deliveries and stuff.
And I'm assuming that, well, that explains to me why if you walk in any place that has drugs available, prescriptions, that at some point in night they can close these barriers and close mm-hmm. it off. And that's why, so that the rest of the store can stay open.
Exactly.
I never knew that. Makes perfect sense, though. Two questions for you. Well, first off, before I get into that, tell us about your family. I don't want to slight them, because if you're working that much to get this thing going, they have to be recognized as well.
I'm married to a longtime Nicholsville person as well, Rebecca Powell. And Rebecca and I met in the second grade, mm-hmm. and so we... we were friends in high school and started dating in college. And so we have a 22-year-old son.
Do you really? Uh-huh.
And then we have a named Jacob. And then we have a 13-year-old daughter, Juliet.
Yeah.
And we just keep on having them every 9 years. So we have a little girl that just turned 5, and her name is Jenna Violet. But she's a full-time nurse. And it was challenging. I think my children... really watch me struggle. And
do any of them, the older ones, think maybe they'd get into this line?
My son told me I bought the cabinets of a pharmacy, and he mm-hmm. was helping me load all the stuff up a couple of months ago, and told me that he's going to apply to a pharmacy school. So I'm hoping that's he didn't know when he was 5 years old that he wanted to do that and so we'll see.
What about your oldest daughter?
Juliet is she's bound and determined. I mean, she's a daddy-daughter date night the other night. She was telling me that she is going to go to vet school. She's been looking at that.
Good.
So she wants.
Good. And, good. Tell us two things, then. In your opinion, right now, in Sims Drugstore, Wilmore, what's the hardest part of that?
Well, the business of pharmacy is certainly... it's changed a lot. Mm-hmm. When Byron, years ago, there were no insurances and stuff.
Yeah.
You bought medicine, you bought medication, and you sold it to people.
And people could afford it.
And that's right.
Yeah.
And nowadays, you certainly have, there's almost a pharmacy on every corner. Mm-hmm. Often they're on across from one another.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's challenging. And then you have the mail order, and people, sometimes it's mandatory that they do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that does make it challenging to compete, with those big, huge companies.
Right.
But we, we just try to, just like Mr. Sim said, nothing's changed from many years ago. You know the people that come in. You love them.
That's my next question. What do you enjoy the most about it?
I
bet you're all going to be a lot really close on this answer.
Well, I mean, for example, when I go to these other communities and work or train, I'm not, people there don't know me. And so when I come back home, back to, I just know everybody.
Right.
And just, really being a pharmacist is all about kind of fixing problems all day long.
Mm-hmm.
It's just people, things come up and you just got to kind of help figure it out. But just knowing people and just being in there. I mean, it's just rewarding and special in itself. It's not to say there aren't some
right.
challenging days, but, you know, I like to think that, you know, we're a pharmacy, but we're really in the relationship business down there.
You are. Would you answer that the same way, Byron yes, Sims? Sir. You know, one of my most favorite episodes of Andy Griffith was when Ellie Walker came to town and was selling, and I can't remember the lady's name, the pills, mm-hmm. the sugar pills, which it turned out to be, using her common sense, knowing that sometimes you got to go by your regulations. We all understand that. You got to follow the law, that kind of stuff. But sometimes you got to use some common sense in helping people. That's what that episode was all about, mm-hmm. the fact that you need to try to help people. And in this particular occupation, along, I think, with being a doctor, and you had some doctors in your community for years, Dunkelberger, Corbett, that for years did the same kind of thing. They had the ability, especially I think in a small town, to know personally these people. And as you mentioned, you knew their problems, you knew their family, you knew everything about them, you got to be family with them. Right. And it had to make the job easier and so rewarding. And I hope that's continuing with you, John.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't see myself being anywhere else or doing anything yeah. else in life. It's yeah. You really do just get these amazing, really close relationships. Now, I will say that, you know, I've been doing it. I've been down there almost 11 years. It'll be 11 years in October. And one of the things I didn't realize about being a pharmacist is that you lose people.
Yeah.
And that's been tough. I've been to, you know, a lot of funerals of people who, I mean, people that I became friends with.
Sure.
I mean, and certainly
sure.
when you deliver yeah. medicine to people, you go in their house, you know, and you get there and then they're wanting you to, you know, take the garbage out or bring their
right.
mail in or
right.
they want you to visit for a few minutes, watch
yeah.
a basketball game with them. And so I never realized that was going to be part of,
mm-hmm.
you know, over my career, how close I would get to people, and then they would pass away.
You know, at some point in time, John, you're going to end up hopefully being able to enjoy retirement like this gentleman is. And at that point in time, you probably will look back, and what you just said as far as that relationships will come to the top as the most rewarding thing that ever happened in your business. And I'm sure he would say the same thing. You know, I am fortunate that my family, my mom's side of the family, all came from Wilmore. I was there for many, many years. So I'm lucky to be able to remember a lot of the businesses down there. And when I think about Wilmore, you cannot help but think there's four or five names that has to be on that list. I'm talking about us old Jessamine County folk. And, you know, you've got the Krauses and you've got the Fitches and you've got the Rainwaters and you've got the Sims. That's part of that group because you guys were around for so long. Your dad involved in not only helping the town behind the counter, but also at City Hall and all of that. And you continue the work with that. And now a local boy continues the work again. So we just hope that Sims is around for a good, good long time. And its memory especially. And I appreciate you guys coming in and sharing with us this information. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Hope you the best. And we hope your retirement continues to go well.
Thank you, Doug.
Well, and I'll say one thing, Doug. You know, when you called the store, somebody answered and they said, "Do you want a John Jason?" And
yeah.
so I knew instantly that was someone, you know, that's known
right.
me my
right.
whole life. And
right.
and I remember, and you know, I just give thanks to you that, for one, thank you for inviting us to come do this. This has been really enjoyable.
Good.
I love spending time with Mr. Sims. But I think back to you. I mean, I have known you.
Been a long time.
A long, long time. And I remember, and you've had many hats in this community yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a whole lot of...
Well, you know what? I was raised, and much like you both were, that you're going to be a part of something, a part of a community. You better be willing to give back. And I hope that we've been able to do that. And that's what we try to do with this program, is to remember and give back a little bit to the memory of it. You was talking about knowing you a long time. Well, I have to ask what year you were born.
75.
Yeah, because your mom and I started working in 83
mm-hmm.
together. So you were just a little bitty boy when that occurred. And then, of course, down the street at the old WNVL for a short time, I worked with your son.
Hugh Byron?
Yeah, Hugh Byron. That's right. He worked at Indio for a while down there, so there's a little connection there. And, of course, I mentioned my family. This guy here, I'm sure, is probably filled prescriptions for the West and the Roars at some point in time and for many years. So a lot of connections here and a lot of good connections. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doug.
My thanks to John and Byron for coming in this morning and remembering Sims Drugstore in Wilmore. And also appreciate you coming in every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. We'll do it again next week. Don't forget, I'm here every weekday from 6 until 8. We get you up and going on Jess FM 105.9.
When a football team ends up with 12 men on the field, it means somebody forgot to double check. And when you end up paying more for your car insurance than you need to, it could also mean somebody forgot to double check. That's why State Farm will do a free discount double check by going through your policies to make sure you're getting all the discounts you deserve. Because those discounts can mean big league savings. It pays to double check. Call me, State Farm agent Steve Page, in Nicholasville today at 859-885-PAGE. That's 885-7243. Or visit us here in Nicholasville at 626 Edgewood Drive.